want to talk about good things. Start off with good things. I want to do a little experiment. Anybody got some good things? Sunshine. Anybody think sunshine's a good thing? Yeah. Repeat after me. Sunshine, sunshine, sunshine. Come on. You know what I love? I love the ocean. Anybody love the ocean? Where are the Whitmores be at? Ocean, ocean, ocean. Say it. Come on. You know what else I love? Ribeye. Let's do that one. Ribeye, ribeye, ribeye. Woo! Let's do another one. Sex, sex, sex. There was like three people. Oh! Everybody else, all of y'all were like, I'll do ribeye, but let's clarify. I am way more nervous this morning than you are. All right? It's all within me to get this right. Because the world, listen, and the church has got it wrong. Steve and I, for the most part, have been at the gym at 5 o'clock every morning since last June, May, all right? And for some reason, right about the spot where we jump on the elliptical machine, there's almost always this program on. It's either some murder mystery, or it's this one preacher, you know? This one preacher guy with a full head of hair. I hate him. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And it's just go to town, go to town, go to town, and then infomercial. Send us a gift, any gift, and on its way to you will be a magic bottle of water and a cloth. A magic, godly, blessed claw. I do not know that Jesus. He's using the name of the Jesus that I know, but I don't know that my Jesus ever gave away magic hankies and holy bottled water that was somehow different from the water that comes out of my refrigerator. I don't know that Jesus. Ed Kilburn wrote a song one time that went something like this. He said, I think it must have been a different Jesus. The one I met when I was just a child, I thought I recognized the name, but the one I know could not have changed that much. So much that you'll stand out on a milk crate and yell at the top of your lungs about a hell that is for people of different color, or a hell that is for people who don't raise their hands, or a hell for people who do not wear ties when they preach, or a hell for people who don't put this name or that name on them. I don't know that Jesus. Do you know what that's called? It's called perversion. Hear me. When you hear the word perverted now, it's all about our topic, but we've ruined that word too. We have perverted the gospel. We have perverted the good news. I have no idea how anybody could call that good news. Yes, please, let me have some of that. Damnation, thank you. We've perverted the gospel itself. And in doing so, we've perverted almost everything that God gave us that goes along with it. We've created a list of sins that we're to avoid and to stay away from. Better not touch that at all than take any chance of enjoying the created universe that God gave to you to have dominion and power over and to enjoy with all that you are. Gosh, we have got to find a way to understand the gospel. We've got to find a way to understand what God did for us. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to try to figure it out. And today is all about defining, describing, enjoying what it is, what it isn't, what has happened to it, and how the church has responded. Because church, until we change the way we look at sex and sexuality, we will not change the course of the world. So grab your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. I do not want to be a prudish, childish, uninformed, unaware, scared, fearful Christian. I want to be a bold, excited, gifted, talented, created child of the King. Then God said, "Let us make man after the birds, after the bees, no pun intended, after the flowers, after the trees, after the whales, after all of the good things. The oceans were spat out in the mountains. Let us make man, and let us make him in our likeness, in our image. And he will rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and the livestock and all of the wild animals and all of the creatures that move along the ground." And God saw that that was good, and God said, "Let us make man in our image." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, male and female, male and female, separately but one. Woman out of man, I created man. And then out of man, I created woman, each specifically designed. Hear that word? Specifically designed the way he wanted it to be. And he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." He said, "Have sex." Some of you are like, "You can't say that in church." I didn't. God did. Do you think they were wandering around for 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 millennia? And then one day, all of a sudden, they went, "Oh, this is how this works. I thought we were supposed to splash water on you and gremlins would just pop out." Do you think they ran around trying to figure it out? What do I do with this? Where does this go? How does this play out? Oh, let's try water. Let's try trees. Let's try. No! You were specifically designed. You were created. You were given a gift. There is no other created thing that is allowed what we are allowed, that it is designed like we are designed. There are millions and millions of nerves and millions of cells and millions of things that have to happen for this to be this way and this to happen this way and this to create in an explosion of God going, "I did that for you." And if you'll notice in the next verse, it says, "And God said that it is very good." It's another verse. Okay, it's on down. It's there. After God created man and woman and told them how to do it and what to do and all that, he said, "Oh, not good. Very, very, very good." Now, we have become a culture who says, not our culture, some church culture, some, "No, young man. The Bible says to multiply. Multiply. It's for multiplication. That is what it's for. Nothing more, nothing less. Multiplication." When was the last time anybody delighted in multiplication? Anybody sought to read books or stories or made movies about multiplication? I say, fine. If you take that route, let's turn over to the fun book of Song of Solomon. And let's describe multiplication. Chapter 5. I can't read all of this to y'all. Do you understand that I for real could not keep a straight face and could not stay flesh colored if I read much of Song of Solomon to you? Do you know that Hebrew men kept Hebrew boys from reading Song of Solomon like we keep children from reading Playboy? Do you understand that they were not allowed to open this book until they were a certain age? It is explicit, it is graphic, it is rated mature for very few audiences. Chapter 5, 1, I'm going to read some safer ones. I have come into the garden, my bride. I have gathered the myrrh with spice. I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I have drunk the wine and the milk. Eat, friends, drink. Drink to fill your love. He's not talking about grapes. And he ain't talking about honeycombs. He says, eat, drink, and don't call it math. Look at chapter 7, I think. Yes. Oh, fellas, have you ever just seen a woman and it didn't matter? Every part was just, how beautiful are your sandaled feet? Feet be ugly until you just rise and come on. And your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of an artist's hand. Seeing a woman as if she was crafted. How beautiful are your feet? How graceful are your legs? Go on. Your navel. Come on, navels. Your navel is like a goblet that never lacks blended wine. I want to drink it. Your waist is a mount. Fellas, let me stop you here. Let's stop. Can I give you a hint? Your woman's belly is a mound of nothing. Never use the word mound. Focus on the navel, but when it rises up in you, to say, and your belly is a mound. Another translation is a heap. Stop before you get there. I don't care if it's a heap of daffodil. Heap will not go well if you're talking about her belly. Amen? Not a place you take Solomon's advice, okay? Chapter after chapter after chapter of explicit, delicious, beautiful, amazing, human-created sexuality without perversion. But like anything else, it's broken. It's broken. A piece of it here, a piece of it there. You taste an experience, and you want to run with that experience further and faster and higher under your own commands and not under the commands of God. And you have a sexual revolution that spins out of control with every new thing that happens. First, the written word, then pictures that could be printed, then texts that can be sent, then internet that can go all over the world, then faster, higher speed internet, then videos, then graphic. Okay, you with me? Our yearning, our longing, our God-given createdness being sucked out of us into a world that knows no boundaries to make something right. And the church responded with, stop. Stop. You filthy, wretched, awful creature. Stop. And we perverted the truth. Do you understand me? I'm going to explain myself, but we have to fix this. We perverted the truth. You see, what we didn't understand was that this is not, when it was created by an almighty God who flung the stars into the universe and the moon into the sky, and we can't even fathom the edge of what he really did for us. He said, I made it more than touch. Watch. Genesis. Again, starting in chapter 2. You have to listen. You have to listen. Verses 22 through 25. Then the Lord God took from the man a rib, and he made woman. And he said, listen, now this creature I set before you is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman, for she was taken from within or out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his mother, be united to his wife, and the two shall become one. I've told you this. That Hebrew word is ahad, a community of one. Not a physical grasping, okay? Not a holding hands, a merging of one. I am in the Father and the Father is in me, said Jesus, okay? But you can't open Jesus up and go, oh, there's God. You would be looking for something physical, okay? That's not how this works. We are made up of two parts, people. It's all through the Bible. It's in John chapter 2 when he's with He's with Nicodemus. All right, John chapter 3. There you go. Two is the wedding and four is the Samaritan. Yeah, John chapter 3, Nicodemus, he's on the roof. How do I be born again? You have to be born of what? Water and of spirit. Water and of spirit. Why? Because everything that is created as far as man and woman go, guess what? You have a body and you have a... And when God joins two people, they become one. Ahad, as God is one with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. It is not a physical union. It is a spiritual union. And the Hebrews understood that at the moment of what we call consummation, all right, they become physically and spiritually united as one. We've lost the truth. It's only physical. That's impossible. Do you understand that by created order, it is physically impossible for our sexuality to be a strictly physical act? The world portrays it as such. God did not make it as such. It cannot happen. If you think I'm wrong, ask yourself this. Someone gets beat up in a fight. Someone breaks an arm in an accident. They heal. Their bodies heal. Find someone who's been through some kind of sexual crime. Their bodies are just fine. Are they okay? No. Why? Because their soul has been violated. Oh, their body has been. But we have medicine for bodies. You ever notice when there are children in school, maybe they were in your school, they don't understand why when they begin the physical part of their relationship, everything begins to happen that is so great and so good in the physical world. But I used to be able to walk down the halls when I substitute school teach and watch the couples. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You pass by them in the hall and they're at his locker, her locker. They're there all the time. You know where they are. They're kissing, they're hugging, they're cuddling. They're the couples of your school. And yet you'd always notice they were either really, really happy or what? They were fighting like cats and dogs. I could tell. I knew which ones were violating one another and which ones weren't. Do you know why? Because they don't understand that what they're doing is not physical. It's spiritual. Think of it like this. If I could put a picture up there, and I'm not an artist, but if I could put a picture up, this will help you. And you were just holding hands, that is fine. But when sexuality occurs, imagine if you could be like Siamese twins. Okay? Here's what happens when you do what God created. Okay? When you connect with another individual in a sexual act, okay? Part of that individual is within you, and part of you are within them. And if you can imagine, as your blood flows through the body, it flows into you, out to them, out to you. And when you break up, when you decide that it's over, when it's not a permanent thing, guess what happens? But what has happened inside your body? there is still part of them inside of you and part of you inside of them. That's the way God created this thing. To be binding, caring, sharing. It's called, and we'll look more at this in the next 2 weeks. I've got to get you there, but you need to know what it's called. It's called dod. The Hebrew word for all that I am describing, for the greatness that God created, is called dod. And it translates to this. Every Hebrew would have known. You listening? The mingling of souls. Real, human, God-given sexuality only occurs at the mingling of souls. An embrace far beyond anything physical, anything that can be touched, anything that can be fathomed. A man shall leave his mother, and the two shall become one. In the mingling of the soul. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you don't believe me, this is the other side. Starting in verse 17. He who unites himself with the Lord is one. Got it? One, it's the Greek word based on ahad, with the Spirit. Okay? Oh, wait. I'm going to start in 15. Sorry. Do you not know that your bodies are members of or a part of Christ himself? Shall I then take a member of Christ, I'm one with Jesus, and unite him with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? So we've got the one there, all right? Look at the next verse. For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with God is spirit. You're united with God in spirit. You unite with someone else physically. You unite that person spiritually and physically in what we spoke of. There are two parts to all of this. And everything outside of God's design for this is perverted. And the only design, are you hearing me? The only design is for a man to leave his mother, be united with her husband, and the two shall become via something we are not capable of doing, via something only God can do, one flesh. We call that marriage. Marriage is an institution. It is an ordination. It is a consummation of everything that God created us to be, and it is heavenly, and it is full of hope, and it is full of life within the confines of what he created it to be. Us, ready for this? Connected with him, connected with our spouses. People are like, well, why haven't I experienced that? Because you've kicked God out of the sack. Some of you just got really weirded out by that. As I was working through my life of waiting till I got married, people used to say, well, aren't you afraid you're not going to be any good at it? And my naive but super fun response of, nope, God's going to be with me. I'm going to rock this, you know? Me and God got this. We're going to take care of business, all right? I got the creator of the universe on my team. I've done it the way he's asked me to do. Let's roll. I wasn't afraid. I'm sure I was a failure in many ways, but I wasn't afraid. Listen, nobody wants to talk about that, but that's what we've got to do. I'm not being silly here. Take God with you. And if you're afraid to take him with you, here's my contention. You may be doing it wrong. And if you're pointing fingers at the broken, if you're pointing fingers at the prostitute, if you're pointing fingers at the trial and error, if you're pointing fingers at the premarital, if you're pointing fingers at the homosexual, if you're pointing fingers at the pornography, if you're pointing fingers at the broken, I suggest that you too are perverting the gospel. And I suggest to you that I was a part of it. I grew up in a True Love Waits youth ministry. Good intentions. Not so good outcomes. I had a t-shirt, no kidding, from one of the more popular speakers on the circuit. It said, wore it to school once a week. I'm not, in big red letters, doing it. And on the back, there was a square with like 27 reasons why I was not going to have sex. I wore this to high school, Steve. This is before I got here. I wore that to high school over and over again. People in my science class would sit behind me and laugh about it. All right? True story. When I started speaking, it was a topic that was close to me, and I would speak about all the things that I'd heard, about all the dimensions that I heard. And I want to tell you a story. It's not my story. I'm going to tell you the story that, one of the stories that twisted my life around in ministry for the good. One of the stories that makes me weep from deep within. Okay? And it makes me weep, A, because it's almost my story. And B, because we screwed it up. And I was a part of it, and I want to beat myself up over it. I want to go back and punch myself in the face over how I handled it. It's a story by a guy named Matt Chandler, and it did happen to him. He said, when I got to Bible college, he went to a Christian university in Texas. He said, I was, going to Bible college, and he said, I tried to figure out what to take. And this is true for me, too. This is totally, I went to a Bible college, and I majored in theater. He said, I had to find something I could do, and I was, not afraid to talk to anybody, so I jumped into theater class, all right? He said, and I went to theater class, and it was like, the teacher walked in, and he was barefooted, and he was lanky, and he was like, be the tree. Be a tree? Theater, and theater people, come on, they're different. We're different. But I'm not even the different. Theater people are weird, man. And he said, I ran into this girl, and we're going to change names. He said, I ran into Sarah. Sarah had that wit, that you just respect, that wit that just makes people funny. They say that one-liner under their breath, and you're just drawn to them, attracted to them. She was going to save him from theater, She was going to be his way out or his way to get through. She was about 26. And he said she looked like life had just hit her hard. She'd done life hard and fast. 26-year-old and had an 8-year-old girl and a brand new baby. Was going to school. And that baby was from a man who was married now, still married, called her up when he needed her, and she would go. And Matt said, her and I just, we hit it off. The friendship. He said, I'd go over to her place, and I'd play with any names off the girl. And I'd, hold the baby. We'd talk. Sometimes about Jesus, but mostly just about music. Mostly about life. Mostly about school. And we just had a friendship that was awesome. Friends. He said, one day, me and a bunch of my boys were going down to a concert, all right? They knew the guy that was playing. All right, Matt had a lot of friends in Texas. They knew the guy that was playing. So they were going about an hour away to this concert, and he's like, I'm gonna ask Sarah to go with me, all right? And he asked Sarah to go to this concert, and the concert was happening after a True Love Waits rally. So they were going to go to the rally. All these boys are Christians, go to the concert. He was going to take her backstage, introduce her to the guy, cool. So they get to this place, they go backstage, they shake hands. She's like, yeah, cool, I don't know who it is, and I'll go. They go, and all the guys and her, and they're there, and they meet the band, and they come out, and they have the rally and then the concert. So one of the bigger name speakers in the country comes out, and he's preaching, and he picks up this flower, this white rose, all right? And he says, man, look at this. Smells it. He said, man, freshly picked this just today. He said, it's unbelievable how soft these petals are. It's unbelievable how fresh this smells, how bright the green is, how pure and white these petals are. And he hands it to a kid, and he said, pass it around. Let everybody touch it. Let everybody smell it. Understand how pure this is. And he gets back up on the stage, and Matt says, and for 45 minutes at a Christian teen rally, this guy just rails on STDs, pregnancy, how condoms do and don't work, all of this stuff, just over and over. He said, and I'm sitting back there like, man, what a good point. Man, what a good point. Man, yeah, tell him, this is what, don't this, not this. You don't want to end up with this. It was a Jesus, I don't even want to say the words he used. He was just naming off the diseases for 45 minutes. And he gets to the end, he goes, where's that rose? Some kid in the back holds up this, I mean, it was like bent over, petals, 1,500 teenagers had handled this thing, you know? It could have been made of steel and it would have been broken, all right? And he walks out and he gets it. I mean, and it's hanging over, very few petals left. He holds it up. He says, hey, ladies, nobody wants a rose that everybody's held and touched. Who wants the white rose? And Matt said, deep down in my spirit, I was like, tell him, man. Tell him. He said, and we got back in the car. We went through the concert. Everything was cool. We went home. He said, Sarah was, you know, quiet. For the next week or so, normal. Dry humor. Theater. He said, about 6 weeks later, she wasn't in class. She wasn't in class the next day. She wasn't in class the next day. He was like, I cannot, may I know. I need my friend, you know what I'm saying? So he calls, leaves a message. The next day, he gets a call from her mom. He says, hey, what's up, Miss So-and-so? He said, Matt, she's in the hospital. Matt said, I'll be right there. He goes to the hospital, and Sarah had gone out to a bar, had a little more than she should have. Some guys weren't going to let her drive home, so she gets in the car with these guys. And in the back seat, one of them attacks her. And she apparently messed him up. I mean, you know, spunky, you know, just clocked it. And so going down the freeway, friend opens the door, and they kick her out full speed onto the freeway. She hits her head and gets a clot where her spine and her brain meet, and she hadn't woken up. The next day, Matt goes back. She's awake. He said she could talk, and he said we talked several minutes. Something about Jesus, just about whatever. I'm not going to be able to do this. She looks up at him, and she says, do you think I'm the rose? Matt, do you believe that I'm the rose? Who wants the rose? I'll tell you who I think. I think it was the guy who chose to walk through Samaria that particular day. Sit down by a well while his boys went into town. And wait for the hooker who nobody else wanted to be around. I think it was the guy who walked out of Walmart one day and a bunch of high society, religious, and I want to use the word I shouldn't use, throw an adulteress down in front of him and ask him to kill her. And instead, he says, if you're good enough, you go ahead, you kill her. Do you understand that because of the way that we've treated sexuality, both prudish and fearful and shameful, that we've treated people who sin that way shamefully? The good news has never been about how bad someone is. It's always been about how good God is. And you can leave if you want, but I don't want your sons, your daughters, my sons or my daughters growing up being afraid of one of the greatest things God did for you and for me. And I don't want them going to find it somewhere else. I want to tell them how good it is now. And I want them to learn to love the broken. And I want them to know that Jesus wants the rose. So I'll spend the next 2 weeks teaching you, as best I know how, what the Bible says creates the kind of sexuality, the kind of believer God wants us to have. Let's pray. God, don't let me ever look at someone, think that I'm better, smarter, or less sinful. I want this yummy church to be about good news. I want sex to be celebrated. I want all the gifts that you gave us to be embraced. And I want to walk this road together with these people, figuring out the good and the bad, the right and the wrong, and uniting as one body and one spirit to make Jesus known and not to scare anyone out of hell, but to offer them the gift that is heaven, understanding that the road is narrow. And the gate is thin. But that by your grace, you tear down the walls, you cut through the lies, you leave the 99, chase us down, and you ask us to come home. God, let us run home. And let us yell all along the way about your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and the fact that you make us new. In Jesus' name, amen.